Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Apostle Darian House with Real Talk with Darian A. House coming to you again live this evening with a really hot topic, Church Hurt, Learning How to Trust All Over Again. I'm excited, as last week we had a wonderful discussion with two wonderful people, Elder Beverly Griffin, as well as Bishop Chris Chamberlain. And those same people have joined me tonight to have another wonderful discussion, going a little further into the discussion tonight. Elder Beverly, are you there?
Praise the Lord, Apostle. I am here.
Well, bless you. How are you today?
I'm blessed. I'm wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Bishop, are you here? Amen. I guess Bishop is not yet with us. So, Elder Beverly, we want to jump right in to the discussion tonight. I am very, very excited about the show. As we've been talking about church hurt, we've been talking about how church hurt happens and how it's something that is very, very, very difficult to deal with, and how there are several different levels to church hurt. Elder Beverly, I want to jump right in and talk about church hurt and how the different levels of church hurt, and how it has such a effect on the mind, on the body, on the spirit. How does it affect you on, oh my God, on so many different levels?
Praise the Lord, Apostle. Just dealing with church hurt, period. As I stated on last week, that's something that we do not expect in the body of Christ. But do it happen? Yes, it does.
Right.
You know, sometimes you can be offended by your brother or your sister, and then you can brush it off.
Right.
Even though you're hurt, you can brush it off. And then you can sometimes be hurt by your, just say, a layman in the body of Christ. Not necessarily the pastor or the bishop or the apostle, but just say it's the next level of leadership, an elder or an assistant pastor. You know, dealing with that, then sometimes we can forgive that person and move on.
Right.
Dealing with coming from a pastor, and we have to distinguish between us being hurt and us being rebuked, you know, because it's a difference. You know, because sometimes we think that the rebuke is, you know, he hurt my feelings or I'm hurt behind that. No, take the rebuke, do whatever needs to be done, correct yourself, and then move on. But then when you are dealing with the higher authority of the priesthood, with your bishops and with your apostles, then that can actually become a very devastating situation.
Okay.
And I just want to encourage the people before we go any further into this, you know, just because the church hurts, it is no reason to give up on God. And I had to learn this even in my last experience, because I was almost consumed in the church hurt because of where the church hurt came from, or more or less who the church hurt came from. But I was almost consumed. It almost devastated me. It almost tore me up. It almost made me throw in the towel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that alone, just being with people, always get people that's going to be there to help push you through, that's going to be there to help build you up, because it's coming. But you just have to be connected to the right people. And I thank God that I was connected to the right people when my church hurt come. Do it still hurt today? Yes. Yes. Am I still crying over it today? Yes, I am. But I've learned even in that, that I got to trust God no matter what.
Right.
That I cannot put my trust in the man or the woman, but I got to put my trust totally in Jesus. And that alone will help you through. Yes, you can trust again after the church hurt, but it just depends on how devastating the church hurt was.
Mm.
Hurtful you was behind the church hurt.
Mm.
But I just want to encourage the people, because, you know, it comes. We see it so often in the body of Christ. And, you know, because I even asked God, I questioned God, why me? Why I have to go through this? But I thank and I praise God today that I was able to go through it, still going through it, and still becoming an overcoming comer of it.
Amen. 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 Bishop Chris Chamberlain, the different levels of church hurt. Let's start there with
good evening,
the different levels. Good evening to you. I'm sorry. He wasn't there when we did our greeting. Blessings to you, Bishop. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for rearranging your day. How are you today?
I am awesome. I am awesome.
Wonderful.
I want to jump in because Elder Beverly, she said some powerful things. But you want to look at the levels of church hurt. When you look at the levels of church hurt, you can be hurt on a member level. You can be hurt on a leader's level, pastor's level. You can be hurt on a higher-up level. There are different levels, and if we're dealing with the members, you know, you can get hurt by another member. They may have said something to you, or they may have hurt your feelings, or they may have done something against you. So that's a level of hurt, and people will carry that around what that member did. And then there's a member and leader hurt, whereas the leader can hurt the member, or the member can hurt the leader. It's vice versa. And there's some, and we just need to deal with this, with that particular point right there, because there are some leaders right now, apostle, who are carrying hurt from their members.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying hurt from
mm-hmm.
their members. And because they're carrying the hurt from their members, they don't even preach the same. They don't teach the same. They don't even pray the same. Their whole life has changed because members has hurt them. And vice versa, it could be that leader have got over the pulpit and bashed the members. When you find this display, that means that the enemy has creeped in some kind of way. There was an open door that allowed the enemy to come in, and now he's having a field day. And a lot of times we don't catch it because we're the ones that's involved. We don't catch that problem because we're in it. And when you're in it, you can't see nobody but yourself. You can't see nobody but what they did or what somebody said or how they act or respond. So those levels of that level of church hurt is so broad now. That level, I mean, leaders and members. And then you have leaders hurting other leaders. And what I mean by that, you have bishops hurting other bishops, or pastors hurting other apostles and stuff, because, you know, because of what we think. And a lot of times the way my church operates may not be the way your church operates. So I will use things to hurt you and hurt your ministry. I will say things to hurt you and hurt your ministry, and that is a level of church hurt that people are dealing with, wrestling with right now. Leaders are coming against other leaders. Why would you do that? At what point do you feel in your heart that you got to strike another leader? You know, I mean, if you can't help me, then don't hurt me. And I think once we get that in our mind, because it hurts, and we carry it around for so long. Prime example, I was hurt by a leader just last year, and I made it in my mind that it wasn't anything that this leader was going to say to me, even though he said, well, okay, I apologize or whatever. It was nothing that this leader was going to say to me to bring me back to a place of really forgiving him. But it was the fact that I had the Holy Ghost to say, okay, Chris, let that go and move on. And that a lot of leaders are holding on to that hurt. Once it's there for so long, man, it festers.
I wanna stop you right there, and I wanna dig right there for a minute, because you said something. You said there was a part of you that said, or the Holy Ghost said, you got to let that go. But the Holy Ghost is one that makes us deal with the truth.
Yes.
One of the problems that I have, and I'm gonna classify myself like this because it feels good tonight. All right?
Yes, sir.
One of the problems I have as a young preacher coming up, I'm going to classify myself as a young preacher coming up. That feels good tonight. As a young preacher coming up, I'm going to classify myself as that. As a young preacher coming up, I have a problem with this thing of I'm just going to look over that and I'm going to go ahead and keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that's one of the problems in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we said we got the Holy Ghost. And one of the characteristics of the Holy Ghost is he is a revealer.
Yeah.
To those that diligently seek him. So could that be why I continue to mistreat people over and over and over and over again?
Absolutely.
It's because your Holy Ghost keeps telling you to look over it, Bishop Chris, and keep your mouth shut.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But
so that when Elder Beverly come along,
mm-hmm.
I already done kicked you in your throat and offended you. So now when Elder Beverly come along,
mm-hmm.
I kick her in her throat and offend her. And so the very same Holy Ghost that you got, Elder Beverly got. Elder Beverly, do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Amen. Amen.
And the same Holy Ghost Elder Beverly got, not somebody else got. And then when I come along with my young faith help, who got the same Holy Ghost, but I believe that the Holy Ghost that I have says that he is a revealer,
mm-hmm.
and I want to pull you and say, listen, this is not how we're supposed to be conducting ourselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that if I love you, then I have to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The Bible says that if I love you, then I should not treat you like I don't want to be treated. Right?
That is correct.
Okay. So then where do we draw the line at, Bishop Chris?
Here's the thing. This is what happened to me. If anybody know me, they know that I'm a person that I don't care what it is, I'm going to go and try to reconcile. I don't care what the difference is. You may not like me, or I may have offended you, or you offended me. I'm going to reconcile. My thing with that was when the apostle didn't want to reconcile with me, and because he had another agenda, I had to let it go. I did everything I could to reconcile. I even called his members to reconcile. And where do we draw the line at? We draw the line at if they do not hear you or receive you, there's times where you have to shake the dust and move on.
Okay, you're right about it. You're right about
you
that.
You have to. And like you said, you know, we have to make an example, and we have to be examples. And what am I going to tell my members if I couldn't let it go? When I would use the term "let it go," which means not to just forget about it, put it on the back burner. But when I've tried to make amends, and when I've tried to make it work, and that's, you made a powerful point there, Apostle. Because a lot of times we don't want to go to the person, or we don't want to resolve the issue, put the issue out on the table, and that is one of the problems that's causing a lot of church hurt, because there are people who don't want to put it on the table. If it's wrong, it's just wrong. It's just natural born wrong. If hypothetically, if I offend you, then I need to be honked on that. I need to be called out on that, because you're going to carry around hurt that was embedded by me.
Right.
So that means that I'm at fault. I'm guilty. So my thing is, that's where the church is going wrong. You're right. We don't want to put it on the table. We don't want to bring it to a head, because we don't want to lose friendship. We don't want to lose reputation. We don't want to lose. But at the end of the day, who are we working for? Ourselves? Are we working for God?
Right. Wow.
Yes. And see, here's the thing too, Apostle. It's when you can admit that you was wrong. It's when you can admit. And I have a problem with people who never admit to their wrongness. I have a problem with that, because that means you don't want to be accountable. You want to be held accountable for your own actions.
And then a lot of leaders will actually put blame on someone else.
Yes.
They're the type of leader that will throw the rock and hide their hand.
Yes.
Because at that point, because I am who I am, or I am who I say that I am, then, hey, I can put the blame on somebody else. And you're right, Bishop Chris, instead of admitting, oh, yes, I did this, or I said this, and then I want to get it right, I want to come to you and say that I'm sorry. And that way a person can pick up the pieces and move forward.
Wow.
But if you never face it, you know, face value, you're right, it's going to fester. It's going to be there. If you don't deal with it and you say, oh, I'll deal with it next week, guess what? The same problem that you had last week, it's going to face you again next week, and if not, double. But we have to learn, and a lot of times when we are hurt, we don't know how to go to a person, because at this point, hey, I don't want to add fuel to the fire. I don't want to come, and it's at this point that we are, you know, going back and forth. No, because the word of God said, let us come and together, reason together.
Reason.
So, you know, if I offended you, my brother or my sister, I'm sorry. If I hurt you in any way, my brother or my sister, I'm sorry. But the leaders need to stop blaming or putting blame on other people when you know all along it was you.
Right.
Because the quicker that you can get the help that you need, the quicker I can get the help that I need, and then we both can move forward in the things of God.
With what you
but
are
they don't
saying,
want to take the accountability for hurting people, or don't want to take the accountability of their actions, because they are the apostles or they are the bishops. Hey, I can put this blame on this little me on. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not biblical. It's not the Christian way of life.
Wow.
Right. One of the other things I want to say is that you have to make sure, as leaders, you have to make sure that you don't throw the baton to somebody else when actually you are held accountable. You don't lay it off on the apostle, because it's you. It is you, and you have to take that responsibility to know you jacked it up. And one thing that I loved about Paul always understood the concept that, hey, I jacked this up. When it comes to sin, I'm the chief of sin. I done jacked this up. So my thing is, we shouldn't be so proud as leaders that if our members come to us and talk to us and say something to us about something that we've done, you know, we need to go back and examine it. We don't need to be so high-minded until we can't hear from the people that we're leading. Not the fact that they're
right.
leading you, but it's the fact that they're letting you know, this is what's wrong. One of the things I do at Great Love, every year I have one meeting a year. And at this one meeting a year, you get the opportunity to talk to the bishop, and you get the opportunity to say, okay, well, Bishop, you know, I feel like you can improve in this area. You know, we went wrong here or we went wrong there. I feel like you can improve in this area. And I would sit and listen to you, and if it's something that God put in my spirit to, you know, to act on or to do better in, then okay, yes. But you have the option. I give you that option to talk to me and to let me, you know, I bring my high horse down and I get on the level of the people and let them talk to me. Because guess what? Why would you pastor? Why would you sit up on a pastor or a leader you can't talk to?
Amen.
Why would you sit up on that leader if you can't talk to that leader? And that's one of the things that is tearing up the body. You can't talk to your leader. He gets mad or she gets mad. She gets an attitude. He gets an attitude. Or they all against me. Some, you know, if you cannot take constructive criticism, I'm so sorry, but you are a bastard. And you cannot be fathered.
Wow. Now that's the truth. Truth will make you free. But anyway, so this is what I'm hearing in this conversation tonight is how we learn how to trust is when we have truthful leaders
yes.
who are able to be truthful,
yes.
who are able to be, you know, they're able to keep it 100, as the young people say. They're able to stand up when they're wrong and say, I'm wrong. They're able to have those meetings with the people. They're able to be accessible, you know, they're able to be there and work with the people. That's how you gain that trust all over
yes.
again.
Yes.
Something that I'm learning, Elder Beverly and Bishop Chris, is this. Church hurt walks in the door of your church, and it doesn't have to happen at your local church. Church hurt walks in the door of your church, and sometimes it simply happens somebody else's church, and it just finds your church.
Amen.
Do I make sense?
Amen.
And that person comes to your church with that hurt already, and they have to learn how to trust all over again.
Because they did not deal with it from the first church. And that's what I said.
Exactly.
You got to deal with this thing head on, you know.
Exactly.
Because I served in this ministry for 18 years. I'm talking about faithfully. 18 years. If they said jump, I said ha ha. If they said run, I said how fast. I'm talking about serve.
Right. Elder Beverly, you there? Did I lose her? Bishop, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here. I think you lost her.
I think she went out.
But she is right.
Faithfully in the ministry, and I was hurt by the first lady of the ministry, and I'm like, I carried that hurt. I'm telling you, I just got released from that about 3 years ago. Well, maybe four. But God had to, in order for me to get over that first hurt, And I'm serious. I walked around as if everything was okay. I'm talking about happy, go lucky. I'm talking about. And when I moved back to the city of Meridian, and I was getting ready for church one Sunday because I was still driving back to Jackson to attend my church that I was attending. And I remember God said, go back. You know, and I'm looking around like, okay, God, you talking to me?
Right.
Go back. And I'm talking about I heard that voice for 2 months straight until that particular Sunday. I said, okay, God, you said go back. I'm going to be obedient today. But it was hard. It was not easy at all. But can I tell y'all something? Oh, my God. But when I was obedient and when I walked into the same position that I left in, I'm talking about because they know I was faithful, I was loyal. I mean, I worked in the spirit of excellence. I'm talking about I did it. I walked in that church, rejoined the church, and was put back in the same position that where I left the church, only to go back and allow God to do what he had to do for me to get my release. And when with the day that my release came, oh, my God, I'm talking about burdens was lifted that I didn't even know that I carried around. But I had to go back, and I had to face that very thing that I ran from, that I left from, because I was hurt. And that's what a lot of us do with the tendency. We run when we hurt. We run away
right. Thinking
that tomorrow that it's going to be okay. Or if I don't talk about it, or if I don't deal with it tonight, that it'll go away. It's not going to go away.
It's not.
It's not going to go. You got to deal with that thing and be obedient to God. And then did I earn the trust of trusting them again? Yes, because you know how I know. I can see them today and I can love on them. I don't have to be in your ministry, but I can see you today and I can love it. Before that time came, I would see them coming and I would go the other way because I did not want to deal with them. Because I did not face that hurt. I did not deal with the hurt. So we got to deal with it. That's why.
Yeah.
It's because you uproot from that church and you go to another church, you think the hurt's going to go away. No, it's not.
No.
You got
no.
to go back and deal with it. You got to
That's
go
right.
back and deal with it.
And it's so good that you said that. Because,
Ooh,
you
God.
Know, until you face that demon that you left,
Ooh,
until you face it head on, that demon is going to follow you everywhere you go.
Amen. Okay. It's
so,
going to keep happening.
Let's just put the cards on the table. It is a spirit. It is a spirit. It's a demonic spirit, and it follows you. And that spirit follows you, and he does that to get you to a place where he can kill your spirit. If he can
That's
get
right.
your spirit, then he can get God. But look, if God be for you, glory to God.
That's right.
Then who can be against you? Who can be against you? So,
That's
you know,
right.
until you deal with that, and this is the truth, until every church person deals with their church issues, the Holy Spirit will never reign the way he wants to reign until it is resolved. He
Amen.
Wants
That's
to
right.
reign. He wants to,
Amen.
He wants to reign. He wants to do a deeper work.
He wants to reign.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
But he can't, and this is why, because of the hurt, because of the pain, because of all of the different things that we carry, you know, he can't use us, can't work in us like he desires to. And so we have to be free from all of that so that he can use us like he desires. So when we are dealing with church, the hurt, and we're dealing with it from the aspect of leader and congregant, right? What is the proper way for the congregant to come to the leader and say, I was hurt by this, and because when I come to the leader, I need to come to them in a way of getting understanding and all of that good stuff. So what is the proper way of dealing with that? Because I know that I can't just deal with my leader any old type of way. So how do I, giving wisdom and giving instruction tonight, how do I deal with that? Elder Beverly, how do I deal with that?
Like I said, I ran from mine, but I was faced with it again until I was obedient to the voice of God years later to go back. Then I went back. When I left, I left. I sent my letter in. I did things decent and in order. I explained to them why I was leaving. But it was never a conversation or a conference between she and I until, like I said, years later, you know. And even at that point, she never acknowledged to me she hurt me. Even in that situation, when God sent me back and I finally sat down with her, and she said, well, why didn't you tell me? She didn't make it easy for me to go to her and to tell her. She never made it easy for me to come to her and talk to her. So like I said, instead of me dealing with it at that point, I ran. And in my running, I had to go back. Like I said, because God says he's a decent and in order God, no matter what we do, you're right, we can't go to them any kind of way. And my thing is, if that thing has hurt you to the point that it can be things said or things done that will cause you to lose character or your integrity between that, and then you go and say, hey, the word of God said, let us sit down and reason together. Can we have a conversation? But we can't go to them in anger or bitterness and hate, because that's only going to add to, and it's not going to rectify the problem.
Right.
So that those are ways that, you know, because, you know, we have a tendency of lashing out at people and not realizing that, hey, you know, you can't come to people any kind of way. So it just depends on if you are hurt by that situation or because we still got to be careful how we approach them, because they are still who God said they are. Even though they caused the hurt, we still just can't go and disrespect them. We still just can't go to them and talk to them in any kind of way. You know, we still have to just be in that place. That Lord God,
Do you recommend using the mothers of the house and maybe getting some wisdom as to how to handle, or as to, mother, is this the time for me to go to my leader concerning this issue? Or because a lot of people don't understand, but that is why we have mothers in the church.
Amen.
That is why they're there, so that we can seek that wisdom, so that we can seek that counsel. That's why we have those auxiliaries. Sometimes you have to seek godly counsel. And don't just seek any old counsel, but make sure it's godly counsel.
Amen.
Don't be seeking counsel somebody you know going to tell you to leave the church. Make sure you seek godly counsel, somebody that's going to give you godly advice as to what to do and how to do it. Bishop, how would you suggest that we handle the church hurt? I know my apostle, Elias Allen, is most likely on this call, and he doesn't know it, but he'll be on the show next week as we'll be talking about how we'll be handling church hurt that we'll handle from the leaders to, meaning when you have an apostle who has a apostle or who has a covering, how when that covering breaks the covenant or breaks the connection or breaks that covering or that level of covering or that level of fathering, how that is to be handled, because it does happen in the body of Christ. Bishop, talk to us tonight, because I know you've been there. How do you handle that? How do you handle that? And how does it make you feel as a leader who has for years been a son of an individual, and now all of a sudden you're made to feel like a bastard? How do you handle that?
One of the things that I definitely recommend is that you find a place where you can go to that leader and sit down and talk to that leader. Take you a witness. Take a witness. Now, one of the things that, and I'm going to have to speak for my own self, as a leader, it hurts me so bad when people who I feel that they're connected to me, and they just walk away from the ministry. It doesn't give an excuse why. It doesn't say somebody hurt me. They don't say I'm going to help another ministry. They just up and leave. And you ask them, what's the reason? And have I done anything to you, or what? And they never give you a reason. That hurts that leader, because that leader, if he or she is a good leader, then I feel like they need to know. They need to know. So if you're going to leave that ministry because of hurt, you need to sit down and tell that leader the real truth. Don't sugarcoat it to him or her. Don't say, well, you know, I don't feel like talking about it, or, you know, it'll be all right, or it's going to work itself out. No, that leader, he or she is owed that from you. Speak up. Say what you're displeased with. Say what's hurting you. And I know a lot of times people say, okay, well, I don't care. Just leave the church. Just leave the church. If you're a true pastor, you don't want people just leaving the church. You want people to, if they're going to leave, let them leave with a reason. You know, you know, maybe I've outgrown your ministry. Maybe I've outgrown
say
you.
That.
You know, say that. You know, don't leave that leader hanging to say, well, you know, I just left. And church, that is church hurt. That is church hurt. I had a member one time who just left the church. And I went to him, and I had done all I could do. I mean, I've given this person place to stay, and I just went out of my way for this particular member. And this particular member just one day all of a sudden started lying about the little things and left the ministry. I asked, why did you leave the ministry? I don't know. God just told me to leave. Well, if God just told you to leave, he will allow you to do things decent and in order.
Yes.
And to just walk away is not order. But to some it may be. To some it may be. But to walk away, just to walk away, is not order. If there is a problem, come on, how can two walk except they agree? There has to be somebody going to, is it like Elder said a few minutes ago, is that when God told her to go back, it was time now to get things right, and that's what she did. It's time to get things right. You can't push it under the rug. If I offended my member, or if the member offended me, I got to stop pushing that stuff under the rug and deal with it head on. And when you leave a ministry, make sure that you are doing it in order, not out of order.
Wow.
So when you come, the thing is, you can sit them down and talk to them. Send them a text if you can't talk. Send a text. I much prefer you to talk to me. And then follow up with a letter, an email. You know, something to let that leader know why. Because for every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. So there's a reason why you're leaving. You didn't just leave because you just want to leave. You're leaving because there's a reason. And it has to be addressed. So now, watch this. Now you got a leader that's hurt, and you got a church member that's taking that same hurt to another church. Or they are building a church themselves out of hurt. God almighty. And that's what a lot of people leave your church and go try to start another church and try to take your members with them.
You better talk about it.
They're hurt, they're upset, and nobody has got no issues resolved. And all the thing you're doing is building a ministry out of hurt from somebody else.
Wow.
How can you build a ministry out of hurt? The ministry is not, See, you got to understand what, however you build that ministry, that's what that ministry will be. If you build that ministry out of hate, your ministry is going to be out of hate. If you build it out of love, it's going to be out of love. Whatever you build the ministry on, that's the foundation it's going to be.
Right.
Glory to God.
Right. And that is how a lot of ministries get birthed, is out of hurt and pain.
Hurt.
Out of pain. You know, because they didn't agree with their leader chastising them.
No, they didn't.
Sat them down, so they went and opened the church. Or, you know, the leader, you know, told them it's not time yet, so they went and opened the ministry, you know.
Come on.
So we have to be mindful. We have to be very, very careful today. So church hurt, learning how to trust all over again. We have to, one of the things that was said tonight that really struck me is that we have to go back. When we leave a situation and it is not handled, all right, God is not a half-done God. We have to go back and we have to handle it. Elder Beverly said that he does not allow us to just go on and continue to go on, and we don't have to handle past situations. So we have to go back and handle those situations.
Amen.
And when we go back, we're not going back for the sake of the person that hurt us, but we go back so that we can be free.
Yes.
She said when she went back, she got delivered the more. That God delivered her and weights dropped off that she didn't even know that she had. So a lot of times we think that we're already all right. But when we go back, we figure out that, no, I'm not all right. I'm carrying around weight that I didn't even know I had. So this is what we have to understand, is that you can't just leave a ministry because hurt took place. And sometimes it's not time for you to go because you got hurt.
Amen.
One thing that I want to touch on tonight is emotion. Because Elder Beverly and Bishop Chris, I'm so tired of emotional things. Everybody is so caught up in their emotions. The Word of God is not something that pastors and leaders need to be delivering on an emotional basis. We cannot get up over the pulpit and teach and preach on an emotional basis. We have to teach and preach the Word of God because of what He said, not because of emotions. Is that right?
Yes, sir, that is right. But you also have to know this, Apostle. You have to know this, that when people get up and they preach out of emotion, they have to examine. Paul said, let every man do what? Examine himself. And I feel like that when you're preaching out of emotion or teaching out of emotion, then you need to make sure that you're being led by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
You need to make sure that you have the Holy Ghost. You need to make sure you have the Holy Ghost, because there's a lot of people, there's a lot of preachers who are teaching and preaching and don't have the Holy Ghost. And I'm just being real with you. And if you do not have the Holy Ghost, you're going to always preach and teach out of your flesh. God never gets the glory. Your flesh get glory. So that's why you're able to run people away, because they know there's not an anointing on you. That's your flesh talking. That's your flesh doing it.
We've got to stop this fleshly stuff. Elder Beverly, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen. We've got to stop this fleshly stuff that's going on, this fleshly teaching, this emotional stuff, this emotional teaching we're doing, this emotional stuff we're doing, this being caught up in our emotions, this pastor, you're teaching across the pulpit about me, you're teaching. No, the Word is supposed to find you. Pastor doesn't have to have anybody to call them and tell them what you're doing at home. The Word is supposed to find you. The Word is supposed to find you in your sin. It's supposed to correct you. It's supposed to do that. This is what it's supposed to do. So don't get mad at pastor and say your feelings hurt because the Word found you. Because that's what it's supposed to do. All right? So
amen.
You have to come from that place. Don't get mad at pastor because the Word found you. This is what I'm talking about when I say emotionalism. in the church. Because this is why a lot of people are leaving churches, believe it or not, Bishop. They're leaving the church because Bishop got up Sunday and he talked about, we got to stop this stuff, coming to church, jumping and shouting and speaking in tongues, and then we're going home and we land up with these men that are not our husbands and these women that are not our wives, and we're doing these different things and these different things. You know, when pastors and leaders start dealing with sin, you know, that evangelism-type preaching, then people start not wanting to show up at church anymore. Well, we've got to deal with these things, because if we don't, we're going to be dealt with when we get before our Father. So this is what I'm saying. We've got to stop being caught up in our emotions, and we've got to understand that God is preparing his people. He's getting his bride ready for his soon coming. He's coming back, y'all, and he's getting us ready. He's preparing us for his coming, and we've got to understand this, and we've got to make sure that we're ready. We've got to make sure that we've got our houses in order. We've got to make sure that we're not playing games and that we're not shucking and jiving and we're not a success in front of the people, but we're a failure at home.
And Apostle, that's why I say it is important, I mean brutally important, to get connected with people, because we are emotions. You know, we are an emotional being. And sometimes when we are hurt, then that's the only thing that we know. And that's a tactic of the enemy, because once he knows that he got you to where you can't function on a day-to-day basis, you're not going to read your word, you're not going to pray, because your mind is all consumed. That's why it's important to get with positive people, especially when you're going through that thing. You don't need any negativity around you. Because it's only going to put you in a deeper stupor than you already are. And at that point, your mind is all over the place. And that devil's workshop of that mind, then that's when the devil is actually going to come in. And at that point, you have made drastic decisions that you wouldn't have never made if you had somebody positive when you feel like giving up behind the hurt or not being able to trust people. So that's why it's important. I mean, people, and I mean, not all people are bad people, because I really believe that there are some true men and women of God today.
That's right.
I believe that there's some true men and women of God.
That's right.
So I will never let my guard down to where I will not trust again, but I guarantee you this heart will be guarded from this day forward.
Right. Right.
Because it's only so much we, you know, and I'm speaking on all of us, even the bishops or the apostles that's been hurt. It's only so much that we can take, because naturally we are human.
Right.
And when we hurt, then we are filled with emotion.
Right.
And some of us are not strong enough. I might not be where you at, Bishop Chamberlain, in the Lord. I might not be where you at, Apostle House, in the Lord.
That's
but
right.
I guarantee you I'm going to connect myself with somebody who is. Because I said, when our mind is all over the place and we need to make some decisions, and that's the first thing we're going to do. We lashing out and we're running. Learn how. Get with somebody going to say, no, girl, you're going to stand and you're going to stay. And Bishop Chris Chamberlain, you just don't know what you did for me that Sunday. When you didn't even open your mouth to me. You just simply came, sat right down next to me, grabbed my hand, and said, I got you, sis. And that was it. But you just don't know what you did for me at that moment. But just being connected with people, they don't, when somebody don't never have to ask you what's going on, but I got you, sis. I'm feeling you in the spirit, sis. Oh, man, that means that's a lot right there.
Yeah.
But just being connected with the right people at the right time. Because I'm telling you, this time, if I was not connected to people, and I mean the right people, and I kid you not, I would have thrown in the towel.
Jesus.
And I would not be in this place where I am today. I know, because at that point I had enough. And it was to the point that I say, forget God. Forget that I just got ordained. Because it was to that point. It was to the point, y'all, I even thought about taking my life. Okay, let everybody in. Everybody that you think is for you, they're not for you.
That's right. That's right. And sometimes you need to cry. Sometimes you got to cry.
You have to make sure, like Elder said, you have to make sure that you are surrounding yourself around people who can hear God when you can't.
Yeah.
Wow. You have to surround yourself around people that can hear God when it seems like you can't even get a prayer through. And sometimes as leaders, we get to that place. Sometimes at least we get to that place. And like she said, if you're not surrounded by people who is going in the direction you're going, you're going to fall.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's rough. It's rough. Something that I shared with some young people today is that a lot of times you don't know what someone is already dealing with.
Oh no.
When you are that person that's inflicting the hurt or the pain, you don't know what somebody else is already dealing with, and then you add to it. And it can push them over the edge. So let us, in the body of Christ, let us be mindful of how we handle one another. The Bible tells us with love and kindness have we drawn thee. Let us be mindful to show the love of Christ. And let us understand that love is something that we do. It's not something that we feel. It was never meant to be an emotion. He commanded us to love. Could have never commanded us to do it if it was supposed to be an emotion. So let us be mindful that we must love one another and that we must be kind to one another, that we really need to learn how to handle one another and work together in ministry to accomplish a common goal, and that is to win souls for Christ. Bishop, tonight, as we prepare to close, how do I learn after going through such horrible hurt? How do I learn how to trust all over again?
It's just totally simple. You have to acknowledge God in all thy ways, and he's got to direct your path. In other words, the way I want to handle it, I can't handle it that way. You know, they have these bands and these things that they used to wear, I don't know if they still do, but it says, what would Jesus do? So you have to put yourself in that position, whereas, you know, you follow what he wants you to do. Now, it may not be his will that I hypothetically just go and just start trusting you all over again. That's not his will. Okay? One thing about trust. Trust is earned, and it's not given.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't just give your trust to people. They have to find themselves worthy of it. You know,
yes.
I think I'm a fairly good person, and because sometimes I think I'm a fairly good person, and I think that people would take that and they would use that against me because they know I'm a good person. But at the end of the day, just because I'm a good person doesn't mean you trust me. That has to be built. It has to be built. It has to be working together. It has to be coming together for a common good. So my thing is, trust is not just handed to you on a silver platter. It's just like a husband and wife. If she catch him cheating on her, he catch her cheating on him, he don't just run back, or she don't just run back and say, oh, well, I just trust you again. I just love you so much. Ooh, I'm just going to trust you. No, it's time. So in order for that trust, that's it. In order for the trust to come back, it's going to take time. And it has to be built. And it has to be worked every day. It has to be worked out. Something has to be worked. Something has to be worked. Something has to be worked every day. It's a process. To gain that trust back again in your leader and to the people in the church, it's going to have to be worked out over a period of time.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. And in time, that trust is earned.
Yes, it's earned. It's earned. And
in
then
time,
you got to earned. You have to make sure that, you know, you have to make sure that even if you need to make sure if this person, you want to trust them again. You need to make sure that this is the person you want to trust again. Because, see, it may be time for you to just, you know, exit and keep on going.
Amen.
Because there are some people that you can't never trust again. Because if they bit you one time, they'll bite you again. And they bite you again, they'll bite you again. And it keeps going on and on and on. So there are some people you got, like Elder said a few minutes ago, you got to guard your heart. And there are some people that, honestly, you can't trust them looking at them because they lie so much. They'll tell you a lie looking in your face. Lying. Lying. Bald-faced lying. But you want me to trust you again. How will you ever trust people if they continue to do that to you? And leaders, if you don't know the truth, then don't jump the gun. Because the only thing it's going to do is keep that person pushed away from you. So in order for trust to be earned again, it's got to be a process. It has to filter. It has to be a process.
This is true. This is true. Elder Beverly, would you like to have any last words concerning trust and building it?
And my thing is just letting go and let God. I mean, because we can hold on to things, deal with it. Go ahead and deal with it. Let it go. And then let God do the rest.
And dealing with it is not always pretty.
Absolutely.
Dealing with it
Absolutely.
Is not always pretty. It is. It can be very, very ugly, but we have to deal with it. Can't let it fester. We can't let it sit. We have to deal with it. This is very, very important that you deal with it. Very important. That we deal with it and that we allow ourselves time to deal with
yes.
it.
And that's going back to even Bishop Chamberlain when he said it's a process.
Yeah.
Process.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It is. It is. But don't get caught in the process and take 30 years to process. You know, don't
Amen.
Do that. Make sure that
if it's
you,
that
you don't
it
use
that.
Right. Make sure that you don't use it's a process as an excuse to stay in a comfortable place for 30 years. You know, because we know the saints. You know, we will get in a place and say, well, you know, it's a process. So don't allow it to cause us to stay in that place for too long, because if we're there for too long, then it gets dangerous. All right? It starts to turn into other things. And that's what
yes.
we don't want to happen. We don't want it to be so long that it starts to fester into other things. It starts to turn into
Amen.
Other stuff. We want to
Amen.
Deal with it. We want to process it. We want the process to be healthy. So this is why we're saying deal with it. Have that meeting. Write that letter. Send that email, send that text message, however you need to break the ice. Break the ice, get that ball rolling so that you can deal with that hurt, so that you can start to get into that place of learning how to trust all over again. All right? Bishop Chris, where is your church and where can we find you in case we're in your area and we need a good church home, we need a place to worship?
Please come. We are located at 12190 Road 4300 in Union, Mississippi. The church, we start at 9:30 every Sunday, and we have Bible class on Wednesday nights at 6. So please come by and share with us, and I tell you, you will not be disappointed. We have us in church. So come out and support us. If you're ever in our area, just come by and just say hello to us.
Y'all, please go with your song shoes on, your skates on, because they
you might as well
dance in every video I see. So you have your skates on, doggone it. Elder
in the Meridian, Mississippi area. The address is 4905 West Gate Hill Drive. That is Total Truth Praise and Worship Center. And we live by our name, Total Truth, with Apostle Elias Allen is my pastor. We have services every Saturday morning. Morning glory service at the Truth. Amen. Amen. Beginning at 11 o'clock a.m. and Bible study every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 7:30.
All right. So make sure you guys stop by there. I was just in town, and somebody was supposed to come by and didn't show up.
Mm.
We know about the name, though. And but we had an awesome time in the Lord. It was absolutely wonderful.
You see, see that church? You see that church? You, hurt.
That church hurt, y'all.
That church hurt. Because when you called me and told me that you were on your way, I promise you I had some things going on that I couldn't break away from.
Yeah, he did.
And it laughed all evening. Thank God for the laughing, though.
It was church hurt. It was church hurt because I really wanted him to be there. But anyway, we had an awesome time. You guys, listen, we are going to be in Pensacola, Florida, at 1072 Sawyer Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32534, this Sunday at 12 o'clock noon at our fifth Sunday fellowship service for All of Joy, celebrating and fellowshipping and eating and fellowshipping and dancing, and we're going to turn up for Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
That's about it. I'm telling you, if you're not doing anything, or even if you're doing something, you might want to play hooky for me. Oh, did I say that out loud? Okay. But anyway, 1072 Sawyer Street is where you want to be. It's going down. There are going to be several apostles here, pastors, other churches from Lafayette and other areas are joining us. Apostle Elias Allen is going to be here. When Apostle Elias Allen and Apostle Darian House get together, we kind of go stupid.
Unstoppable.
I don't know what that's about, but we lose our mind. So I'm telling you, you want to be here. We are going to go ham. I already know it. So meet us here at 12 o'clock noon. We're going to have such an awesome time in the Lord. This is our very first fellowship service that we're having, and I am excited about it. After this service, there will be some good food. So tell a neighbor, a friend, an enemy, a frenemy, that there's going to be good service, good fellowship, good food. And just really, we're coming together to lift up the name of Jesus and strengthen one another, love on one another. And we're going to go back to our cities and just upbuild our cities and tear the devil's kingdom down. So that's what it's all about, coming together to be strengthened and go home and do what we've been assigned to do. Those of you that don't know, that really want to see who Elder Beverly is, y'all want to see her test something up, she's going to be in the city. So y'all need to come to the box so y'all can see her test something up. All right? All right. All right. Those of you that would like to sow.
Don't count me out.
Ministry, you can do. Don't count you out?
Don't count me out.
We won't count you out. Come on. We're looking for you. Those of you that would like to sow, you can do so at alabasterboxcm.org. If you cannot make it into the city, you can join us by looking at my Facebook page on Facebook. Go to my Facebook page, and you will see the icon there. Or you can go to alabasterboxcm.org. Again, it's alabasterboxcm.org. And there you will be able to see the icon to go and live stream with us, and you'll be able to join us by live stream. We would love to have you, whether you're actually in the building or whether you are a part of the virtual church. We would love to have you. Join us by virtual church. Send us a message. Let us know you are there or have been there. We'd love to have you. Hopefully something has been said tonight during this show to help you with your church hurt and learning how to trust all over again. I'm going to ask you to please join us next week as Apostle Elias Allen will be with me next week to talk about this subject, from a whole other side of things, where apostles are being dealt with in wrong ways by their leaders. And we're going to bring this from another side so that you can understand how this happens even in the leadership aspect of things. Because I think that people are not exposed enough to the hierarchy of the church. They're not exposed enough to that, and people don't know that hurt happens there as well. And leaders have a lot on their plate that they have to deal with, and then they have to deal with the hurt and the pain, as well as they have to continue to come out of the office with a smile on their face and still teach and preach the word and put on their best face and put their best foot forward, even when their heart is heavy. So join me next week as we take this further. Thank you all for joining me. Let's close with prayer tonight, and we're going to get out of here with some music. Thank you, Elder Beverly. Thank you, Bishop. Love you both to life. I really appreciate you for joining me tonight. Once again, an awesome show. I love you all. You know I do. And if you ever need me, I'm here. God, we thank you tonight for this time. We thank you for the fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for my brother and my sister. We bless you, God, for this time. God, we thank you that you will wrap this show in your glory and that you will allow it to minister to someone's heart, to their mind, that you will allow it to minister to their needs, God, and that you will allow us to deal with our hurt and to get over it and to learn how to trust again. God, we thank you now that you will allow the church body, the family, to come back together again and to be able to work and do what you've designed us to do. God, that we will be able to win souls in these last and evil days and do the work that you've designed us to do, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you now that the trickery of the enemy is over, and God, that we will be able to come back together and work like you've designed us to work. God, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. Again, thank you all so much for joining me. We love you, and I pray that you guys enjoyed this as much as I have.
Do you remember when we used to play? When we were down and low, lift our voices and sing. Whether the musicians were there, we praise the Lord with that movie thing. We would find ways to pray, like stomping our feet, lifting our voices, clapping our hands, and they used to say, no.